Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Wesfarmers Enterprises Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Salil Bawa, Head Group Investor Relations from Wesfarmers Group. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Irene. Good evening to all of you. On behalf of Wesfarmers Enterprises Limited, I welcome all of you to the company's Q4 FY 2023 earnings call. Along with me today, I have Mr. Sandeep Garg, Managing Director, Wesfarmers Enterprises Limited. I also have Mr. Akhil Jindal, Group Chief Financial Officer and Head Strategy for the group, Mr. Lalit Jain, CFO, Wesfarmers Enterprises Limited, and my colleague, Siddharth, in the Investor Relations group. We hope you have had a chance to review the investor presentation that we filed with the exchanges today, albeit it was a little late. Apologies for the same. It is also available on the company website. During the discussion, we may be making references to this presentation. Please do take a moment to review the safe harbor statement in our presentation. As usual, we'll start with opening remarks by our leadership team, and then we'll open the floor for your questions. Once the call gets over, should you have any further queries that remain unanswered post the earnings call, please feel free to reach either me or Siddharth or our Investor Relations team, SGA Partners. With that, I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Garg, Managing Director, Wesfarmers Enterprises Limited. Over to you.
Thank you, Salil. Thank you, and good evening to everyone present on the call. I welcome you to the Q4 and FY 2023 earnings call of Wesfarmers Enterprises Limited. Talking about the macro situation in the country, in the past quarter, the Indian economy has shown continued growth on the back of government's enabling economic policies and measures. Likewise, the thrust on infrastructure has been reinforced by the Union Budget. As a result, MoRTH, NHAI, and Jal Shakti Ministry have ambitious targets in the current fiscal year. Altogether, the environment for the new fiscal looks extremely encouraging. Now, coming to the updates on the company, firstly, let me talk about the distribution of wealth to the shareholders. In line with our thought process of distribution to our shareholders, we have, by way of dividend and buyback, returned 8.50 rupees per share and rupees 235 crores, respectively, in this financial year. I repeat, we have, by way of dividend and buyback, returned 8.50 rupees and rupees 235 crores, respectively, in this financial year. So, in total, we have returned more than rupees 700 crores to our shareholders over the last five years, which translates to around rupees 50 per share. In the financial year FY 2023, we have clocked the highest standalone revenue in the history of the company, which stands at 2,676 crores, and accordingly, the highest PAT in the history of the company stands at INR 713 crores. This year, of course, included the transaction wherein Welspun Enterprises sold 6 road assets to a marquee global investor, namely Actis, for an EV consideration of rupees 6,000 crores. Just to reiterate, our business model is unique with realization of profits by way of EPC business during the construction phase of these projects, as well as at the time of divestment, oblique project monetization, as and when we sell the assets. In the next growth phase, our business strategy continues to focus on twin goals. First, building a portfolio that generates high value, high margin projects backed by our asset-light business model. And second, diversifying our portfolio to de-risk ourselves from dependency on any single subsegment of infrastructure. Coming to the operational quarter, this best ever result in the history of the company was clocked due to increased progress in our Varanasi-Aurangabad road project and UP Jal Jeevan Mission water project. Another good news that I would want to share is that we have received for the Makarwa Chowk Panipat road project PCOD2 in this quarter. Coming to the other water project of substance, which is Dharavi sewerage treatment plant, we have been able to do initial mobilization of civil contractor and the work has commenced on ground. We have obtained the pre-construction approvals and also received 5% advance from the client, the mobilization advance from the client. We exit FY23 with a healthy order book of more than 10,000 crores, which is split roughly 60 to 40 into water and road respectively. This ratio of 60 to 40 gives us the ability to grow on twin engines. A recognition of our capabilities is exhibited by the fact that 80% of our order book is external, with the remaining one-fifth being internally addressed. As we conclude our detailed scope of projects, I'm happy to share that we have identified significant pool of projects across water and road segments to the tune of rupees 67,000 crores, which we intend to look at for our bidding purposes. We will remain true to our asset-light model and focus on project management and engineering solutions for the assets that we target. We will continue to focus on projects which enhance and are adaptable to our capability to bid for projects with higher engineering complexity and harness our core strength of execution excellence. Coming to the oil and gas, we continue with our efforts for exploration and production of the oil and gas field blocks housed in the joint venture called Adani Welspun Limited. Recently, we have submitted field development plan to the authorities for the block called B9 and are currently in process to submit the field development plan for the block MBOSN 2005/2, or what we call Mumbai block. We expect this to happen within this quarter. Based on the approval of the same, we would proceed with the field development of both the blocks simultaneously In line with our prudent approach, we will commit future capital only upon clearance of the field development plan, which gives us the visibility of early monetization. During the quarter four, on the Westbourne New Energy site, we appointed Mr. Kapil Maheshwari, ED and CEO for the business, who will help us identify along with his team the space in which we want to operate in the large space of sustainable energy solutions. With this background of the quarter, I will request Akhil to take you through the financial results of the company. Over to you, Akhil.
Thank you, Sandeep. Thank you, Salil, and good afternoon to everyone. So we are extremely delighted to share the numbers for this quarter and for the last full financial year. As Salil mentioned, we could only upload it at a little late in the afternoon. So I'm sure many of the people may not have got a chance to go through it. So just for the sake of everyone, I'm touching upon the key highlights, the key numbers that are of interest to you. So clearly the standalone performance of the quarter had been one of the highest ever in the history of Welspun Enterprise. We recorded total income of rupees 884 crores in the Q4 FY23, and that means almost 85% growth over the last quarter's corresponding year on a YoY basis. This has also resulted in a net profit of 138 crores, which has meant a growth of almost 160% in the corresponding period. This is of course had been there because of the successful execution of key projects on the roads and water segment. And as Sandeep mentioned, a lot of revenue growth has come from those segments. The increase in other income has also been a large jump in this quarter. And as you would remember, the sales of proceeds of the assets that happened in the last week of December, that money is being effectively put into treasury operations, into the bonds and mutual funds, and there has been a significant increase on account of this treasury income. The EBITDA, which is a paramount important item, we have got almost 80% growth to have reached 150 crore just in this quarter, and this again shows a strong level of execution. On a consolidated basis, for the company as a whole, the numbers are more or less in line with the standalone numbers. But just to share some of these numbers, the top line has been at around 845 crores. The corresponding top line was 476 crore last year. And of course, these are now excluding six projects which we have divested as a part of the divestment program that got concluded in December 2022. On an overall basis, on a total income basis, again on a consolidated basis, we recorded a growth of almost 85% to 917 crores, as compared to 494 crores in the Q4. The EBITDA, again for this quarter, has been 166 crore, which was 93 crores in the previous year, same quarter, and which means almost 78% growth in the EBITDA number. And to sum it up, the profit after tax has grown by 1.8 times to rupees 142 crores on a consolidated basis as compared to the last previous year. And obviously the cash that we have in the company are deployed on a in a most effective treasury operation, on which the company is expecting to earn in a safe and secure manner a decent amount of treasury. And going forward, I think, this is our highest cash position as reflecting in the balance sheet of the company at 1,838 crores. This is, of course, including the sales proceeds, as I mentioned to you earlier. On the full-year basis, the top line had been, again, one of the highest in the history at 2,775 crores. The PBT, again, was one of the highest to 760 crores, and the PAT was 713 crores. This, of course, included an exceptional gain on account of divestment of around 410 crores, which got completed in December 2022. So before we open the floor for Q&A, I would like to state that, as agreed with Actis as a part of the transaction, there were certain payments which were to be received by the company based on the milestone payments. Out of the total 259-odd crores, we have received around 161 crores till date, and the balance is likely to be received within Q1. A little part of it may still slip over Q2, but mostly in the Q1. In addition, as and when we will receive the permission for divestment of 51% stake in Mukarba Chowk, there's another 169 crores is likely to come. So together, 169 crores of the consideration, plus another 120 crores of the balance money, which are linked to the balance payment, is something that we are likely to receive from Actis or the SPV that we have sold over the period of time. And we are hoping that all of this would be achieved within this financial year. This is, of course, contingent on us getting the approval from NHAI for the 51% stake sale, as I mentioned to you earlier. So I think this is a short summary. If you have any question, please feel free to ask us now or later, as the case may be. And we can open the floor for Q&A just now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star and then one. The first question is from Karan Asthi of Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
More visibility. As we ramp up, could this sort of see any upside bias?
Karan, we couldn't hear the initial part of your question. Can you please repeat that?
Yeah, sorry about that. Is this better now?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So I was actually referring to the 300 crores execution target per month that we have for FY24. How do we see that as we're on sort of the brink of the start of the year? Could there be any potential sort of upward revision to that?
I think we would stick to a target of around 300 crores per month on an annualized basis. Obviously, quarter on quarter, the run rates will change depending upon the various projects coming on and the construction work starting, as well as the vagaries of weather. But on an annualized basis, we would be targeting upward of 300 crores per month revenue.
Sure. I see. And in terms of margins, I think we're at around 11% right now, operating margins, which is somewhere around what we are comfortable. But as execution picks up, could we expect some possible operating leverage to kick in, maybe in the second half of the year?
sure, I mean, that we would also expect the, as the volumes will grow, fixed costs will be apportioned over the larger base, so we expect the margins to be slightly better. However, this is subject to a caveat that commodity prices do not go out of the normal CAGR pattern that we account for when we are looking for the margins.
Right, of course. And coming to the order book, I think you mentioned in your opening comments that there is around 17,000 crores of pipeline that, we're pretty looking forward to bid for. So any more details on that in terms of what sort of projects are these? Are they water or road? And maybe any timelines we could expect some updates on the pipeline, coming through?
So the pipeline for this financial year that we have right now identified is in the range of 67,000 crores. The split is practically in the ranges of 40,000 crores is approximately the road portfolio, and the balance is the in the water. However, we are not going to bid for each one of them. We will be very selective in our biddings out of the lot that we have identified at this point in time.
Right. And any sort of out of the 67,000 crore, how much is sort of the real sub-segment that we are targeting in terms of that matches our base criteria?
Whatever we believed at the initial stages that these projects are not likely to meet our return expectations, we've already taken them off. Now, this is a subset out of which we will then be looking at, depending upon our wins and the competitive intensity that we expect, we will be identifying the projects that we will target to bid and win.
Got it. And just coming to the oil and gas division of ours, you mentioned that, there's some progress in terms of FDP is going through. Any indication in terms of what P1, P2 reserves you're possibly looking at in these two blocks?
We do have an idea about these P1 and P2, but I would request to defer this question to the time when we have the FDP in place. Which means another a quarter before I publicly declare that.
Sure, I understand. And what sort of ballpark investments could we see being made in the oil and gas division? Because I think we have roughly around 1,500 crores of net cash. So would the bulk of that be going into this division?
The investments can only be ascertained when we have the FDP in place and an approval thereof. I would request that we get to the numbers after the FDP has been submitted and approved. The only thing that I would say is we are currently looking at two scenarios. One scenario is our own infrastructure to produce this gas. And the second scenario to leverage the existing infrastructure of other players to produce this gas and liquids. So depending upon which model works out in the FDP, would the numbers change? And I would request that you grant us time till the time FDP is finalized and these options are closed by us for us to give you an idea of the investment. Also, I would want to be very specific that we would be very cautious based on our returns as well as subject to the board approvals based on the returns that we will have to go back to the board about this investment proposal, and if those are met with, will we proceed with the field development plan.
Sure. That was helpful. Thanks a lot, and I'll get back in the queue for any further questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Mohit Nagarajan of Antique. Please go ahead.
My first question is on the water projects from UP. When do you expect those tenders to be out? Are we participating in all the tenders?
Water projects in UP. So could you repeat the question? Because there was some cracking which happened. Can you repeat the question?
Yes. So I was talking on the UP water tenders.
Okay.
Are we participating in all those?
UP water tenders, we are looking at them for sure because we are already mobilized in UP. We on our standalone do not qualify for those projects pre-qualification, so we will look at getting the right JV partners if we are to participate. If we get the right partners and we are comfortable, we shall participate in these projects.
Second question is on the renewable front. Could you explain us what those plans are, the business development over there? If the new CEO could also highlight what exactly the what we have in store to add in those to come.
So renewable plants, as I said, we took from the board a decision to explore this new energy options. We have taken a CEO and are in the process of building the team. We have also appointed a consultant to advise us based on various state schemes as to which state is best suited for these kinds of solutions. And we are interacting with the consultants to understand this business line. And once we have a clarity as to where we want to play, both in terms of space and the state, which part of the value chain we want to capture, we will make a business plan. And once that is clear in our own internal approval processes, we would be very happy to share with you. Right now, we are in a process of only committing to the extent of initial investments into the teams and consultancy, which we do not believe to be exceeding anything more than 25-30 crores at this stage.
Thank you, sir. That's okay. All the best.
Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, you're welcome to press star and then one. The next question is from Siddharth Singhal of First Water Capital. Please go ahead. Siddharth, your line is live. Can I ask you questions?
Yeah, am I audible?
Siddharth, please make sure your line is. Thank you. We can hear you now. Please go.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, sir, first, I wanted to understand on the existing projects. So when you say that 300 crores of execution run rate is what you're looking for in the current fiscal, out of this, how much are we expecting from the two HAM projects?
So I don't have the exact numbers in front of me as to purely from HAM projects, how much we are expecting and how much we are expecting from the EPC projects and the water. However, the split between road and water is likely to be more in the ratio of 60% to 40%, 60% coming from road and 40% coming from water.
Right, so the reason I'm asking is because if I look at the timelines that we have stated for the Varanasi project and SNRP and on the Simaria, I mean, 300 seem to be on a very conservative side. So I'm just trying to understand how have we come to this number and whether we are targeting to complete both the HAM projects during the current fiscal.
So we have an extension of time for the HAM project Anta Simaria to
October 2024. And we also have a in-principle agreement, however not written down in terms of agreements, but as a part of our minutes of meeting of the conciliation process, the 18-month extension on Satanathapuram from April 1, 2023, which takes us to October 2024. That is what the timeline available at this point in time is. Any other challenges notwithstanding, and we expect both of them to go to the next financial year for sure.
Okay. And could you also help me with the status on the Varanasi EPC projects, both the projects? So I think the original timeline stated that we'll complete the projects by November of this year. So are we on track in terms
of execution? There are certain hold points from the client that will not allow us to complete the project by November 2023. We expect this project to also go into the next fiscal year.
Okay, understood. Right. So my second question is again a repetition of one of the previous participants' question. So we have set up this new subsidiary, and we have also appointed a new CEO for that subsidiary. So could you at least help us in terms of which part of value chain are we, you know, planning to foray into? And also if you could confirm that 25-30 crores. So are you saying the initial investment will be to the tune of 25-30 crores only in this subsidiary?
So what we are saying to you are two things, and let me repeat if I'm not clear. We'll try and make myself clear. The mandate from the board is currently to explore this area, so for which we are creating a team, taking some consultants, and exploring as to how the value chain in this whole new energy space is. Now, this expense that I'm talking about is the pre-expense, as you would call it in a business parlance, for investigating and understanding the complete value chain and a decision as to what value chain is, which portion of this value chain can we play in, and in which territory can we play in, which state can we play in, which is the right place to set up any such business per se. Once that clarity exists, we will create an annual business or a business plan around it, which will be subjected to the board review. Once the board accepts that this is the area that you may want to play, we will start looking at any investment into the assets. Till the time board does not clear, we are not going to make investments into any asset. It is an exploratory cost of a business line.
Understood. Got it. Understood. So one more question, if I may, on the oil and gas side. So could you please help with the, you know, timeline as to how those things work? So currently, you mentioned that for one of the blocks, we have already submitted the field development plan, and for another block, we'll be submitting the FDP during the current quarter. So how much time to the exploration for the block for which we have already submitted the FDP? And exploration and all is going to come at a huge cost. So what are the plans in terms of that?
So
are we looking to, you know, invest such, you know, huge sums in exploration and all those things?
So first of all, let me explain to you, we are no more in exploratory phase. We are in developmental phase. So there are two different categories, which means that the exploration is complete. The resources are available. Now they need to be brought out to the surface and sold. So we are now developing a plan as to what is the most optimal way of exploiting these resources rather than trying to find these resources. So that's something which I would want to, first of all, clarify. Secondly, the earliest that I look at this point in time for the B9, the anticipated anticipation is we will not be able to get the first gas out before FY26. Depending upon the approval of FDP, this is the earliest that we can target. Now, since I said that we are going to develop B9 as well as MBOSN 2005/2 together simultaneously, we will submit the FDP of the Mumbai block or MBOSN 2005/2 block within this quarter, and these both projects, FDP being approved by this authority, we will create a business proposition for the board to accept. Once the board accepts as to what will be the debt equity contribution, how the funding will take place of this project, will we be in a position to tell you what is the total outlay and how that is going to be funded. We will come back with transparency once this clarity comes in.
Understood. Okay, thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, you are welcome to star and then one, which is up in the question queue. The next question is from Ria Verma of NR Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Firstly, I wanted to know, out of the 10,100 crores of order book, how much would flow through the P&L and how much would flow towards capital gains and exit?
So, this is the 10,000 crores plus order book is all which will pass through our P&L through the EPC route. Now, there are two of these projects, namely Antasimaria Road Project and Satanathapuram Nagapattinam Road Project. These are HAM projects where we are also standing as developers. The value of these as a asset per se for us will be in the ranges of about 3,500 crores.
EV, enterprise.
Enterprise value.
Right. And having moved out of road HAM into less competitive waters, what is the next segment that you see wealth fund moving towards to earn higher returns?
So let me clarify that I have not moved out of HAM projects. We have stayed away from very highly competitive intensity. However, over the years, we see that intensity going down. We are waiting in the wings to get back to the business if, as and when the opportunity is right. So we are very focused on bottom line driven decision making and analytics of what is viable for us. We are not necessarily chasing a particular model. We are agnostic to the model. We could try EPC, we could try BOT toll and hybrid annuity model. We are already in the toll road as Mukarba Chowk Panipat. We are already in HAM with the various projects that we have, and we are in EPC on Varanasi Aurangabad road project. So our offerings on road are composite on all these three models. However, on the water side, our current offerings are primarily EPC. We have one small BOT project in the water space as well.
Okay, got it. And lastly, how do we see us build on our order book going forward? Any outlook on the same? And additionally, if you could throw some light on our focus segments.
So, the current focus on the road and water shall continue. And as I said in my opening remarks, we have identified projects worth 67,000 crores as a first cut, where we believe that they will be amenable to the returns that we expect. Now, any business scenario of our nature, you would expect anything to 10%-13% of a win ratio on this kind of a order book. So that's what I would be expecting. However, we will see based on competitive intensity how much we would actually want to bid.
Okay, that was helpful. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, just another reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one. The next question is from Divakar Rana of Prudent Equity. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So in the earlier concalls, you mentioned that you plan to go debt-free on a standalone basis. Right now, I can see in your balance sheet that you have paid some debt. So can we assume that, you will get, the company will go debt-free in coming one or two quarters on a standalone basis?
Yeah. Let me just try and answer this. The net debt that is left in the company, I mean, the gross debt, net debt, is just the NCD, which is 275 crore, which are also falling due in this month, which is May, in the current month. So once that also get repaid, unfortunately, we couldn't prepay those NCDs because the provisions were not there in the NCD document. But say, first June onwards, our gross debt at the holdco level or on the standalone level would be zero.
Okay. But by, sorry, I missed you, by next quarter?
By, say by first of June, 2023. Within a month's time from now, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And sir, one small question, basically, if I see your P&L, consolidated P&L, there is around 13.88 crore of loss from discontinued operation. So can you throw some light on this?
Yeah, I would request Lalit to answer that. Yeah.
Basically, we have Mukerba Chowk project, which we have only achieved. We have achieved 51% holding in that project. So this is basically associate accounting we are doing. So for the quarter, this is the loss we accounted.
So this is basically a one-time loss?
Yeah, this is one-time loss.
Okay. Okay, thank you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, just another reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one. The next question is from Riya Soni of Soni Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So firstly, with the cash that you available from the Aptus deal, could you please provide specific details about your plan for deploying the fund? And it would be great if you could share some concrete information on the same, as you said that you will update the same in the Q4 FY23 earnings call.
Yeah. I'll take the initial portion of the question and ask my Akhil and Lalit to step in. The current situation is that we have identified the fund requirement for our existing projects in terms of equity and temporary loans, which is for the existing business, which will be in the range of 375 crores. So that much of allocation is already made. Out of the cash that you see on the balance sheet as on 31st of March, please recall that there has been a buyback of about 285 crores, including taxes, the money which has gone out. 275 crores is already allocated to refund the NCDs that we have. So this is the current allocation that we already have made. As I said, we are looking at business of 67,000 crores of projects, which are both the HAM as well as the EPC contracts. So certain allocations will be reserved for future business growth. The balance money, as and when it is either the oil and gas business scenario becomes clearer, we would allocate those funds to oil and gas or any other vertical that we create. Over to you.
I think you summarized it well, Sandeep. Clearly, the quite a lot of cash is already earmarked for some of the pending liabilities or pending investment commitments. And to that extent, I think, while the cash balance looks pretty heavy at the beginning of the year, but almost 1,000 crore out of that is, either to be used for the debt repayment or for the investments or the buyback, as the case may be. So, and as Sandeep mentioned, we are charting the plan for the further investments, which we are going to come and discuss with you in more greater details in the next earning calls.
Okay, that answers my question. So secondly, are we currently exploring any transaction in the nature of assets?
See, these two assets that we are building in, as Sandeep mentioned, we have time for almost 18 months to build up those assets. Our endeavor would be to build them as soon as possible. And naturally, we have an arrangement under which we would also like to, sell those assets in the line of our strategy of being asset-light model, which has been followed so far. Clearly, these two assets would be of an enterprise value of around 3,500 to 4,000 crores, as the case may be. So a lot of liquidity is likely to get generated at that point of time also. And just to reiterate what Sandeep mentioned in the beginning of the call, over the last 6 years, as a company, we have returned almost 50 rupees per share, in excess of 50 rupees per share by way of a dividend or by way of a buyback. So almost 700 crore plus has been returned back to the shareholders, over the last 5 to 7 years. And our endeavor would be to continue on this path. And naturally, our earnings are also not like a single line function. It's a combination of both EPC income as well as the funds that we get on the exit. So both of these are to be kept in mind, and also, our board will decide on the distribution policy as the case may be from time to time. So I think, the exit is certainly in our mind. And as Sandeep also mentioned about the oil and gas, as they are getting FDP ready, the interest on these oil and gas assets is also likely to improve from the external world perspective. So that is also one of our focal area, that once we have established the viability and have completed the FDP, we would also look at the possible ways to monetize those assets. So this is something that, is our overall plan over the next 12 to 18 months. And that would keep the balance sheet healthy. By the way, I just also want to share that CRISIL, which is otherwise not rated Wellspun Enterprise so far, but this time they have done the rating of Wellspun Enterprise. And I'm happy to share that we are one of the few companies in the infrastructure segment which has been accorded a AA minus rating by CRISIL. And CRISIL, one of the most respected rating agency, has gone through a 360-degree evaluation of this company. And to that extent, this is a very happy news for the company. And also from a overall risk matrix perspective. So I think that is something that I would like to share. And, I think if there are no further questions, can we move on to the closing remarks? Oh, there are questions. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, just a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, you're welcome to the star and then one. It seems we are not with the questions. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sandeep Garg for closing comments.
Thank you. On the happy note of putting in the highest revenue for the financial year, for the quarter, the best cash position, the best profit after tax, it's a very happy situation for me to thank you all once again for joining us on this call today, and I hope we have been able to address all your queries. I look forward to speaking to you once again during the next quarter. Meanwhile, please feel free to reach out to Salil or Siddharth or SGA, our investor relations advisor, for any clarifications or feedback. Thank you all and good evening.
On behalf of WorldStar Enterprises Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. And you may now disconnect your line.